Hello and welcome to episode 89 of Must-See Matches. I am Kieron Dudley, joined as always by the man behind Must-See Matches, Buckle Ray Dudley. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I mean, I've got that Buckle Ray hairstyle.
But less problematic opinions.
I hope.
I'm doing stupid intros because this week we are talking about the TLC 2 match, which is the Hardy Boys versus the Dudley Boys versus Edge and Christian from WrestleMania 17, April the 1st, 2001. Our second match from WrestleMania 17 after we talked about The Rock versus Steve Austin some time ago. Joining us from the Pro Pre podcast, star of Mastermind and author of The Rise and Fall of Ricky Dozan, George Twigg is here. George, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for the intro. You've got one of my plugs in for me, so I don't have to do it at the end.
Oh, no. Feel free to do it at the end. I was very tempted to call you George and Christian, but...
just to do I have to be Edge?
Fine. Fair enough. I'm going to give you the newbie question, which is, how did you get into wrestling in the first place?
I was, I think, 10 years old at the time, and I was lucky enough to be that age at probably the last time in recorded history where wrestling was genuinely mainstream and zeitgeisty outside of WrestleMania season. You know, everyone was talking about it in the primary school playground, and I dipped my toes into the water only a couple of months before this show.
Right.
So really, it was just, believe it or not, listeners, wrestling did used to be cool back in the day.
It was never cool.
It was cooler, and by this match, it was also extremely dangerous. The other thing I was going to ask you was, what was the catalyst for that gigantic book? Like, how did this form in your head and get out onto several trees worth of paper?
Well, the first thing is that I have a penchant for starting writing novels at the worst possible time in my life. So I did one when I was 17, right in the middle of my A-level exam revision, which I'm sure is unmitigated shite. But and this one, I was coming towards the end of my PhD, but the germ that set it off, and believe it or not, it was originally going to be a short story, possibly a novella, and then things got out of hand somewhat, was one of my parents' friends. He used to teach at an international school in Vietnam, and he heard the story about Ricky Dozan from this South Korean lad who was in one of the classes that he taught, about how there was this big Japanese wrestling hero who fought the evil Americans. It turned out he actually wasn't even Japanese at all by birth.
Yes.
So that little germ of an idea sort of lodged itself in my head. I didn't really know anything about the 50s and 60s wrestling in Japan or anywhere else on earth at the time, but I thought this would make a good story, and look, 10 five-star reviews on Amazon can't be wrong. So
it was when I read it, it was definitely not one of the worst. It was it was a good book.
Not one of the worst, and that is a five-star review from Mark Buckley.
I mean, I'll have you know that Babel was one of the books I read that year, mate.
No, that is true. That was my book of the year as well. I mean, one of the reviews actually complimented me on the lack of historical liberties taken with the source material, and I was just reading it thinking, I bloody did.
You fooled them all. So getting closest to the match we're talking about, I presume like you saw this at the time and it has kind of sort of stuck with you since then, hence your appearance to talk about it today.
Yes, you might be surprised a little bit, listeners, to see, you know, or hear someone like myself from a Japanese wrestling podcast talking about TLC, but perhaps somewhat heretically, all of us on the Triple P believe that the Western style of televised wrestling can be just as good as the Japanese style of wrestling or any other kind of wrestling for that matter. I would say that if you put a piece of paper in front of me and said, list all the spots from TLC 2, I would be about 70, 75, 80% accurate. It's really one of those matches that sticks with you.
Yes, it certainly is. It's one I have also seen a lot over the years. Mark, I have to ask this question going on prior form. Had you ever seen this before this week?
I have seen this.
Okay, good.
It is... I definitely remembered a lot of elements of it, not the spot level, but also I hadn't seen it since. So I
really?
Just saw it at the time and then I never went back. So this week was the first time I'd seen that match in about 23 years nearly?
Good God. I have seen it a lot over the years. I had the VHS. I'm sure it appeared on a load of best of DVDs and things. I have the WWE Ladder Matches DVD, and it's on there. I've seen this quite a lot, which might be a giveaway to when we get towards the end.
This might shock you, actually, talking about watching things. I have only ever owned one wrestling show on tape or DVD other than, say, Japanese wrestling from a tape trader site.
Okay. Are you going to tell us what it is?
ECW Miracle on 34th Street.
I've never seen that.
I paid 99p from Choices in Cardiff.
Was it like the Delta releases, the with all the lightning background?
I think it was. Yeah. It was like, so bear in mind, I was at second year university, second year. Mm. So this was 3 years after ECW died and they were getting rid of these things.
I used to work for the guy who did all of the music removal of those, because the first run went out with all the copyrighted music in and they got in trouble and needed to have it all dubbed out for the second releases. And he was the guy who did all of that.
I assume that guy's got a mansion in Beverly Hills right now, because that must be a lot of work.
That man is dead.
That took a turn.
It certainly did. This is the only appearance of any of these people on the podcast. I presume they got more nominations than just this match, though, Mark.
Yep. First of two quiz questions that you're going to be getting tonight. All right. Of these six, who had the most nominated matches?
It's not going to be who you think, is it?
I think, would it be Edge?
So you've gone Edge.
And I'm going to guess Jeff Hardy.
It was Jeff Hardy. Mm. By one.
Yeah.
Jeff had 11 matches nominated. Edge had 10. Both Dudleys only had 4 nominated.
I'm going to tell you, my first instinct was Devon.
Yeah, so both Dudleys, their only nominations were matches that either had the Hardys in them,
yeah,
Edge and Christian in them, or Edge and Christian and the Hardys in them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They hitched their trailer to something good, didn't they?
I am shocked that the Dudley Boys versus Polo Promotions from ICW Fear and Loathing 9 did not make it onto the list.
Christian did one better because he got the Edge and Christian versus Hardy's No Mercy 99 ladder match in there. Matt got 7 nominations, and boy, does he not deserve those 7.
He used to be part of good things.
Matt was in all of the ones the Hardys were nominated for.
Obviously.
The Armageddon, not the Hardys, the Dudleys. This is a mess.
And I'm not going to edit it.
Yep. So he had the Armageddon 2006 match. Yep, that one where Joey Mercury came a cropper.
Oh, yeah.
And the Final Deletion got a nomination.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. Jump a lot. Edge got 10, including the match with Ray against Angle and Benoit, the Mick Foley Mania 2006 match, and Terry Funk's 2006 nomination from One Night Stand 2.
The six person
with Bueller and Lita. Yeah.
That is foul, but very good.
Yeah, it's sort of like a good bad match, isn't it? Yeah.
And Jeff had the RVD match from Invasion 2001, the ladder match against Taker in 2002. A triple threat with Edge and Triple H at Armageddon 2008 that I didn't know happened.
Sure. If it got nominated, it probably happened. We did a lot of research to make sure that these things did happen.
Yeah. And the TLC match against Punk in 2009. So,
yeah. Yeah, I can see the cases for a lot of those. They all have like at least one element, I would think, that's memorable, and you would communicate to other fans as, this is worth your time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. So there's a bit everywhere. 7 different TLC matches all got nominated. One of them, yes, it was WLC.
Yes. Yes. We know who is responsible for that.
And this is the last stipulation. No, there is only one stipulation match left. So only one with a stipulation.
Title versus mask. Or does that not count?
That doesn't count. Sorry. Apologies.
That's the only one I can think of.
Apologies. I meant gimmick, not stipulation.
Oh, right, fine.
Only one gimmick match left, which is our last match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always forget that has a stip attached to it.
So, yeah. And only three WWE matches were higher than this.
Yeah. Well, Kieran, thanks to your correctly guessing Jeff Hardy, you are now 1-0 up against the 181st ranked player on the quizzing.com season list. So do treasure that.
Well, Mark did say there were two quiz questions, so we could come out a draw here. With big pay-per-view matches, I tend to watch the previous month of TV in build-up. I did not bother doing that with this because the announcement was basically Mick Foley going, you're going to do TLC again. Instead, I went back and watched all the milestone matches, starting with the ladder match from No Mercy 1999. This is the final of the Terry Invitational Tournament. Don't think too hard about that acronym. Which is a best of five series consisting of six matches between Edge and Christian and the new brood, Matt and Jeff Hardy. And if that already doesn't make much sense, also know that the Hardys already have Gangrel as their manager, having previously ditched manager Michael Hayes, and this match is for $100,000 and Terry as a manager. This match, I think, is really good. Which is what's quite funny in hindsight, because Matt Hardy almost blows the first spot, slipping under the top rope and choking himself on the thing. Watching this again felt like the real start of innovation in ladder matches. So you get things like Jeff getting wedged in the corner with the ladder as a ramp and then Christian running up it to drop kick him. Jeff doing the ladder vault leg drop for the first time and getting a standing ovation for it. The first ever seesaw ladder spot, which, because of the way the camera angle shows it, it's not obvious it's one ladder laying on top of another. Mm-hmm. So you don't see it coming when they set it up. The Rube Goldberg finish, which is just a bunch of people bouncing off each other and bouncing into ladders to end up with Jeff climbing up. And then his final fall from the top, pulling the money bag down, so iconic, it became the win animation for ladder matches in the video games for years afterwards. If you think that the previous WWF ladder match before this was Vince and Shane versus Steve Austin at King of the Ring.
Jesus Christ.
But very he did make different. The briefcase.
And also, Shawn and Razor didn't do anything like this. It just become watching the TV version, the pay-per-view, it's like it's just replay after replay of crazy spots. It's also the debut of what Jerry Lawler would term the Wile E. Coyote cam, which is the camera hanging attached to the mechanism that holds the prize, pointing straight down over the ring. I could also find no record of there ever being a tag team ladder match before this one. So this might legitimately be the first tag ladder match. The next big thing is Hardy's versus Dudley's table match at Royal Rumble 2000.
Also nominated.
Quite understandably, actually. It was set up by the two teams trading big table bumps over the previous week's TV. So on Monday Night Raw, Bubba powerbombs Matt off the middle rope through Jeff and a table. I am currently rewatching 1995 ECW TV and have just seen the first time that spot was done, which is Benoit powerbombing Sabu through Rocco Rock in a table off the top rope. That put Rocco in a kayfabe wheelchair for a month. Here, both Hardys are fine to come back on Thursday and put Devon through a table off the stage on SmackDown. I did note Bubba grabs Fink's mic, which just 6 months prior would have been cause for serious concern given like how his promos went in ECW. Thankfully, he just does local sports team shit here. I did also notice on the intros, Matt Hardy is already limping down the aisle. this one is all about the final take. All the table bumps are crazy, and all four take brain-scrambling chair shots, but it's all about the final table bump, which is Bubba going backwards through three from one story up in an aisle somewhere in Madison Square Garden, and then Jeff hitting a swanton on Devon from the one remaining table apparently in the building from the same place for the win. It's incredible visuals. Next up is WrestleMania 2000, where all three teams are involved. It's the triple threat ladder match. This one, you get Edge riding a ladder down off the top rope onto a second one that Matt Hardy is underneath. Bubba does the Terry Funk ladder-copter. Edge spears Jeff from the top rope off a ladder, more of which anon. Christian and Jeff take a spill off the top of the ladder all the way to the floor, something that Christian seemed to like repeating a lot. Much as the Hardys introduced a ladder into the tables match at the Royal Rumble, here the Dudleys introduced tables into a ladder match. So we're already building towards things to come.
Yeah.
They set up two ladders and bridge them with a table under the belts, and then two more tables and a ladder in the ring, another table on the floor, and then Bubba clears the Spanish announce table, calling Hugo a slur in Spanish as he does so. it's just furniture everywhere. They get the double-sized ladder out. Matt gets powerbombed by Bubba off the announce desk through a table on the floor. The giant ladder ends up in the aisle. Bubba ends up on a table by it, and Jeff gives us the move repeated in 1,000 highlight packages and possibly 10,000 don't try this at home videos, with a swanton off the very top of a 15, 18, they call it 20 foot ladder. It's madness. The finish is Matt wipes out Devon with a twist of fate, and he and Christian end up fighting on this platform on top of the ladders. Edge comes up behind him, and in not quite his hometown, but just down the road, Matt Hardy gets shoved off through a table in the ring that explodes, and Edge and Christian grab the belts and win.
Yeah, this is the first one of these that I actually watched, because I wanted to get the context like yourself. But I just watched that and TLC 1 and TLC 2. And I think it was really interesting to just see the escalation, because now this might seem a little counterintuitive slash exaggerated, but I think this series is the nearest WWE has ever come to King's Road.
The floor is yours.
So I've gained a reputation with my writing for arguing that completely mad stuff is King's Road, like Tokyo Joshi is King's Road.
All right.
And I wrote this article for my friend Luke's Substack, which actually did have quite a lot of people going, yeah, you know, actually. But I think that it's often said of early ROH, right, that it's a bunch of people who watched 90s All Japan and thought that the moves were why those matches were good.
Yeah.
And King's Road to me is not about the moves or even the personnel. It doesn't have to specifically be the four pillars. What the King's Road is to me is a small group of wrestlers just pushing each other to greater and greater heights of spectacle and excess and danger. And so I don't think the WWE has done that kind of escalation of danger quite as well as it has across all of these matches.
That is valid.
Yeah. Like the TJPW article, which I read, I agree with it.
Yeah, because like when I watched this, I mean, there are still a lot of big bumps and big spots, but it feels less built around them from the get-go than does TLC 2. I mean, they don't go right into the mad stuff from the off. There's a few like fairly tame ladder spot of the kind you can imagine happening in Shawn versus Razor for the first 5 minutes or so. It really does feel like a normal match, but there are, you know, there happen to be ladders involved. And the finish really struck me because I've come to be quite jaded with a lot of modern Money in the Bank matches just because a lot of it seems to be built around fashioning the ladders into these wild and wacky contraptions.
It becomes giant Meccano, doesn't it?
It genuinely does. So I was like, oh, here they go. They're putting a table on top of two bloody ladders. And then I looked at how high the belt was and I thought, this doesn't actually look reachable from the regular ladder. So yeah, fair play.
Yeah, I felt this one, I might have been that I had watched too many of these in a compressed sequence of time, but this one felt less innovative and more like just insane life-shortening stunts. Nobody looked that happy to be there to do this one.
It's long as well. Like, it's 23 minutes. The TLC 2 is actually, I would say, the best of the three big three-way ladder matches, and it's also the shortest.
Yes.
And also bear in mind that it was, despite the criticisms you're having, I think it was probably the highest rated match on that Mania by a country mile.
Oh, easily.
Oh, that is not a good WrestleMania. It's one, because it was one I had on VHS, it was one I watched a lot. It ain't good.
Nah.
Across the spring into summer, Edge and Christian start introducing chairs as their signature weapon, prompting Commissioner Mick Foley to book tables, ladders and chairs for SummerSlam 2000. This is the craziest one, I think. By the end of it, it just looked like a B&Q warehouse has exploded. Everyone should have a broken everything. It starts pretty early on with Bubba getting double powerbombed off the ladder by the Hardys, but gets his leg caught in the rung, so he hits the mat, and the thing just whips over and smashes him in the face as he hits the ground. Poor Christian, after taking a cutter off the ladders at Mania, takes the Bubba bomb off them this time, and I was shocked not to see two spines shoot out through the top of two heads as they hit the mat. They do another seesaw spot that should have scalped Matt Hardy, or at least given him Joey Mercury face. Edge shoves Jeff off a ladder onto two that have been set up like a seesaw, and Matt takes the other end pretty much across his hairline. And the replay shows he didn't get his hands up. He just took it. It's horrible stuff. Bubba avoids a repeat of the WrestleMania 20-foot swanton, giving us another shot we'd see in 1,000 video packages and cautionary PSAs. He then unfortunately gives away his big bump by continually looking at the 2x2 stack he and Devon have built at the end of the aisle as he climbs the giant ladder. Edge and Christian then push it over, and he takes a crazy fall through the stack, giving us a shot we'd see in 1,000... You get the idea. Lita hits the ring, shoves the ladder over again, crotching both Canadians. Matt climbs, Devon tips over a third time, this time backwards, and Matt comes, he's like two rungs from the top, and he basically does a blind fall backwards through two tables on the floor.
Jesus.
One of which I notice, the legs just stay standing for some reason. I don't know if they got bolted into the outside beforehand, but yeah, very weird. Lita comes over to check on him. Edge spears her. She clips the top of her head on a stray ladder that's laying on the floor as she takes the bump. Yeah. You see why I said everyone should have a broken everything? Jeff and Devon end up hanging from the loops the belts are attached to, and Devon takes an absolutely gross flat back bump from way too high up. The crowd goes apeshit thinking Jeff is going to win before Edge and Christian basically stab him with a ladder to knock him off. And then climb up and win. Oh, this is the one that's in the Hardys' hometown. I thought it was the ladder match. No, nobody would do WrestleMania in North Carolina. What am I talking about? Yeah, this is this is the one that the Hardys have to lose practically on their doorstep. Yeah, insanity.
The escalation here is most seen in... The thing that didn't stand out to me was the spot, again, because TLC 2 has just stuff that is just as crazy. Apart from Jeff's spine going into the side of a ladder.
Yeah.
That was the most horrible thing to me, even though it wasn't from very high up. Like, you know when Vince was meant to go through the table at St. Valentine's Day Massacre,
and
he doesn't quite
edge.
Get the distance, and he just hits the edge. The thing that stood out to me most about the escalation was the evolution of the Dudley Boy shtick. Because in the triangle ladder match, when they get the table, the exchange is pretty much like, you got the table then? Yeah. All right.
Mate. Yeah.
And whereas here, it's the Huffle like, Devon, what? Get the table. And also the advent of the What's Up headbutt.
Yeah. Mark, you're reasonably young. Both of you know where What's Up came from, right?
Yeah. It's, the Budweiser ad, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. But that ad originally aired at the end of 1999. So I'm not sure there are a lot of people listening to this who would know.
It's already dated at this point.
Yeah.
Like it's 9 months old.
It's still in heavy rotation.
Yeah.
It's still everywhere. So it's still kind of relevant.
This is what people used to have instead of memes.
Yes. Yeah. It really is.
Look, they couldn't be up to date because the bud wise. Headbutt doesn't work.
the thing is, they were still doing this move like in the 2010s, and it was so passé at this point. There's a story from the footballer Roy Keane's second autobiography.
What?
Where he talks about, he was manager of Ipswich Town at the time, and whoever was managing Derby at the time offered Robbie Savage to him. And Roy Keane says something along the lines of, so I was thinking to myself, oh, Robbie Savage, he's an experienced head, he'll be good in the dressing room. So I phoned him up and it went to Answerphone, and the Answerphone said, you're through to Robbie Savage. What's up? Like in the commercial, I thought, I can't be fucking signing that.
All right, so my next stop was September 25th, 2000, Hardys versus Edge and Christian ladder match, debut of Raw on TNN. This show is loaded. The theme song is still Thorn in My Eye, so it's my life in a box and it's full of feet, which I swear is what the first line of that song is. We get Detective Stone Cold returning and investigating who ran him over 10 months ago at the Survivor Series. The long Austin Foley Benoit angle promo segment is almost insufferable because Jerry Lawler keeps opening his mouth every time there's a gap in the dialogue. We get the China Playboy reveal, very classy photos and a beautiful presentation, according to JR. Smackdown your vote, which basically means vote Republican. X-Pac versus Jericho first blood. Jericho goes about two thirds Hokuto if we're keeping track. And the main event, Benoit versus The Rock for the WWF title. Oh, also, Eddie Guerrero defends the Intercontinental title against Right to Censor Val Venis with an incredible finish. They double down. Stevie Richards gets up on the apron. From the floor, China tears his trousers off in one swift motion, almost taking his underpants with them. He goes nuts, turns around to yell at her. Eddie runs Val into him and rolls him up for the win. It's perfectly executed. Jerry Lawler almost dies laughing and the crowd love it. I loved it too and watched it three times. Immediately followed by a segment where Steven Regal comes out to read Hamlet because they're on a university campus. He gets halfway through page one when Austin's music hits. He nonchalantly walks to the ring, stuns him, and just goes straight back up the aisle with Disturbed still playing.
That's the best segment in WWF history.
Yes, tremendous. Relevant to us, though, Bubba Ray, for some reason, loses to Taz after Raven DDTs him. I have no further context and will be taking no questions at this time. And the ladder match between the Hardys and Edge and Christian. There was a cage match the previous night where the Hardys beat Edge and Christian for the title, and Jeff, they show many replays of this, Jeff missed both of them with a whisper in the wind off the top of the cage. They just seem to part as he gets to them. It's so bizarre.
He's not fucking Moses.
He pretty much was. This one is just a bunch of mad spots. Edge and Christian get the ladder legs drop kicked into their nuts. Jeff gets sandwiched in an upside down ladder in the corner. And the big ladder comes into play as Edge spears a swinging Jeff from it. The replay from the Wile E. Coyote cam is insane for that one. It's kind of slow because they're selling the cumulative damage from the cage match, but Matt's head still gets split open somehow. Christian almost gets beheaded on a back suplex off a ladder that brings him down way too close to the ropes. And in the end, Edge and Christian try a concerto up the ladders on that, but Jeff and Lita tip them off, letting Matt grab the belts and win. This one felt really unnecessary, like they were just hurting themselves for no reason. And I kind of wish I'd watched the cage match instead. Thank you to Matty Edwards and GTR underscore 63 on Twitter for helping me find it. And then finally, our final stop. I promise I'll shut up in a minute and we'll talk about an actual match. Royal Rumble 2001 is Dudley's versus Edge and Christian in just a regular tag match.
That's the first wrestling match I ever saw.
Really?
In my life. Yeah, the first wrestling match I ever saw, and the storyline was about the Dudley boys' concussed juicy brains.
I thought this it was pretty fun and well executed. Just a straight 10-minute tag, ending with the Dudleys hitting the 3D to win the tag title. And the unfortunate point is the storyline that runs through it, which is the Dudleys are so concussed they shouldn't even be competing tonight. There's like a fake-out hot tag Devon tags Bubba, but the ref didn't see it, so he gets pushed back in the corner. From that point on, the crowd is going nuts for everything until the finish. It's up on YouTube. They've censored the recap of the Dudleys taking chair shots to the head on Raw. They've censored Edge saying WWF, but not Christian clearly saying, "What the fuck?" right in front of the camera. So, on the March the 5th Raw, the Hardys beat the Dudleys to win the tag titles. 2 weeks later, Christian and Edge win the titles from the Hardys and then lose them the same night to the Dudleys. So, going into this match, Bubba and Devon are the champions.
The other thing from that show was Edge and Christian won their match thanks to the debut of Rhino. And they lost the titles to the Dudleys because of the debut of Spike Dudley.
Yes, I was going to get to that later on. So each team has a helper who is not present at the beginning. The story going in is Rhino has injured both Spike and Lita by goring them on various television shows across the previous week. Various lackeys and crewmen set up furniture at ringside. As a video guy, I love that the shot of the hanging swinging belts was perfectly framed within the graphic that said WWF Tag Team Championship. It was framed so it's like swinging in the space that was left. Something that struck me watching all the build-up stuff, you know how Christian has been on AEW TV saying our whole careers, it was always Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. Every single match I watched, apart from the Raw one, they are introduced as Christian and Edge, not Edge and Christian.
Very quickly wedging it in, the second quiz question.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Is it where did Matt Hardy buy his sexy Freddy Krueger Halloween costume shirt?
What, you mean his vegan emo Dennis the Menace shirt? It is not that good, sir. So at this point, Edge and Christian held the titles, tag titles 6 times. Dudley's held it 3 times. Hardy's held it 4 times. There were 13 title changes between Mania 16 and this show.
Right.
Which of 3 teams that were not the Hardys, Dudleys, or Edge and Christian, which other teams won the titles tag titles between Mania 16 and Mania 17?
I think I can give you 2 of them at least. I'm just trying to recall the third.
If someone gets the third one, they win outright.
All right. Well, okay. So I'll guess the 2 I'm sure of, or well, yep, fairly sure. Mm. APA?
No.
Shit. That's me, fuck, then.
Uh-oh.
The other one I thought was Too Cool.
Too Cool is correct.
Too Cool is correct. Yeah, I thought so. Which are the other? Test and Albert?
Nope. They have been sort of mentioned already.
They've been sort of mentioned already. Kieran scrolls back through notes. Everybody vamp. Was it the 2 of the 3 tables that Bubba Ray went through at the Royal Rumble?
Edge and Christian as the Conquistadors.
That did not count in this context.
Ah, fuck. That was going to be really clever.
Matt and Jeff as the Conquistadors.
Also does not count.
The Dudley Boys as the Conquistadors. We know Bubba speaks Spanish.
It was the 4th team that dressed as the Conquistadors, right to censor.
Oh, damn it, I was going to say them.
Yeah.
The one that you would get golden marks for, Rock and Undertaker.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be 2 main eventers who don't like each other, but are still good enough at tag
held
teams.
Held it for one day. One day.
That sounds about right. Yeah. That probably would have been before they realised tag teams were a thing. Yeah.
Well, you say that. In 2000, there were 40 tag title matches on TV.
Yeah.
That was the period where they're really getting their money's worth out of those belts.
Yeah. Christian and Edge are out next. Christian has absolutely ridiculous sunglasses on and gives it a whole 10 seconds of in-character strutting down the ramp before you can see his face hardens, the shades come off, and his walk becomes normal, and he looks like, oh, fuck, this is really going to hurt. They all look up at the belts. One of them goes, go! And then the bell rings and it's on. Edge and Christian have collected a ladder within 45 seconds and wipe out both other teams after the Hardys have double-teamed the Dudleys. The stunts start out quite small, with Edge jumping off a chair to clothesline Matt off the lower rungs. Jeff then takes Edge off the ladder with a dropkick off Matt's back. Christian is the recipient of the Hardy splash leg drop combo from the rungs a touch higher than the top rope. I always hate it in ladder matches where they set up ladders and they climb up like it's going to be a big dangerous spot. Mm. But like, it's the rungs that measure in between the middle and the top rope, and it wouldn't do any more damage than it, like, a superplex normally would. The Dudleys bin them all off and adversely affect the sexual drive of Edge with the was up headbutt.
Oh, he's
Devon has to really fly for.
Oh, he bounces.
He bounces. It's not quite as bad though as the one from Wrestle Kingdom 2 where they're wrestling Togi Makabe and Toriano, where he lands a good 4 feet short.
Oh, and he still sort of just about lands like really bad.
Well, he does the bounce and he's like, oh, I can do this, and he's still short. It's so funny.
Here he lightly grazes Copeland's butt cheek. Even on video, over 20 years later, you can still feel the electricity ripple through the crowd for the Get the Tables routine.
Yeah.
They bring one in each, and Bubba powerbombs Jeff through Edge, who is laying on the table. I am pretty sure I've heard Edge say that Hardy's elbow smashed him in the mouth and chipped a tooth, or knocked him silly, or both. Just one of those, like, stray limbs. The Dudleys set up a 2x2 stack, which, as I've seen twice in previous matches, traditionally doesn't go very well for Brother Bully. Let's see how it plays out. Christian and Matt attack and then go and rearrange some ladders. Dudleys recover, go sort them out. Poor Matt gets smashed in the crown of the head with a ladder rung by Bubba. And three ladders get set up side by side. Everybody climbs up with Bubba and Edge in the middle. And after some fisticuffs, Bubba pushes over one outer ladder and Edge does the other one. Jeff and Devon both neck themselves on their side. Matt crotches the top rope, and as it become his thing, Christian goes all the way over the top to the floor.
Yeah.
Edge and Bubba then lamely shove each other and somehow do John Woo bumps off the ladder.
Oh, it's so hokey looking. It's like, dude, honestly, if Bubba was training wrestlers, he would basically make them do 100 squats after the back bump that he takes.
Yeah. So the finale is not good. However, it took me a few rings to work out how well set up this was. Neither man pushes a ladder that has their teammate on it.
Yeah.
And there's also a lovely symmetry on how the ladders come to rest afterwards, with one standing in the middle and the others like in a V shape leaning against the top ropes. Edge begins to climb and the crowd comes up because here comes Spike Dudley.
Mm.
Incidentally, had his first match in 8 years last month. So the recent closure of ECW left him free to join the WWF. He had in fact debuted just 12 days earlier in a match. So his first WWF match was a six-man on SmackDown, Dudley's against Edge, Christian and Rhino. And as I mentioned, had almost immediately been gored into kayfabe injury by Rhino. So here is his big return.
Well, his last ECW match was against Rhino.
Yeah. There are points here where you can tell that a certain Mr. Heyman has just pressed his finger into the pastry on the top of the pie. Spike acid drops, or Dudley dogs as it would become known here, Edge off the ladder, and then does, I called it a Silver King dive style one, as he comes off the middle of the, off the inside middle rope over the top rope on Christian to do one through the table that Christian had been setting up at ringside. Mm. The replay show he takes way more of the table than Christian does. Yeah. So I don't know who got hurt more here. While all this is going on, Rhino has hit the ring and is wrecking everyone. Mm. Here is Mr. Heyman's fingerprint number one.
Yep.
Because he loved Rhino. Jeff gets arm dragged off the ladder. Devon gets one hurled at his face. Bubba takes a short-range spear. And Matt takes the second big whack to the back of his head as he gets gored through a table set up in the corner, smacking his head on the wood as it basically just turns him into a sandwich.
Rhino was in part almost responsible for derailing a school play when I was younger, because there was a guy in the cast who backstage, as a bit of a prank, decided to, like, one of the other cast members turned around and this guy just went, go, 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 and then speared him into the wall. And it actually really hurt the guy and he nearly didn't make his cue.
As Rhino goes to help the Canadians, here comes Lita, who had also been gored by Rhino, as we mentioned. She pulls down Edge and we get the classic Ross call, jerking Edge off the ladder. how prophetic that would be.
Considering the King's Road reference, I think Lita's underwear at the back was so high, it was like Barbara gave women's wrestlers advice.
Yeah, she's got a belly button on her back.
Yeah.
Rhino threatens to press slam her over the top, but Spike makes a save with a low blow, allowing Lita to hit Rhino with her diving Rana off the top. And then as Rhino stands up, Spike waffles him with a chair, sending him into the ladder that Edge is climbing, resulting in Sexton hitting his hard castle on the top rope on the other side of the ring.
It was a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, well, yes.
You two fuckers have had those in the chamber for a while.
This is why we do notes watches.
I've got that written down on the notes, I won't lie.
Yep. Dudley's hit Rhino with a better Doomsday device than the Road Warriors ever managed, because Bubba falls backwards, unlike Animal, before Lita brain Spike with a chair and pulls her shirt off for, honestly, one of the biggest pops of the show.
Yeah, what you had here is, Lita, well, this is just after the Rana to Rhino, which looked incredible. So you've got a woman doing something really cool, and then Paul Heyman shouting at her to take all her clothes off, and then getting hit with a very hardcore double team move. Basically, ECW writ large in the space of 30 seconds.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. And it's easy to forget, like, how popular the Hardys and Lita were as an act at this point.
Especially when you consider Lita started off as S.A. Rios's valet, for goodness sake.
She is also ex-ECW. She was Miss Congeniality for ECW a few years before this.
Vis-a-vis the popularity of the Hardys, I just wanted to ask, because, and they'd often do this, but Matt Hardy takes his shirt off before Lita does, actually. He's the first member of Team Extreme to do it. I wanted to ask, because I'm an out and proud bisexual man. I don't know how many members of the gay community listen to your podcast, but I just want to ask them all, like, is Matt Hardy sexy? Is he a sexy man? Because let me tell you, quite a lot of people in the audience were very happy to see him get his shirt off.
There was quite a big high-pitched squeal when that shirt came off. The shirt coming off was usually Jeff's routine, wasn't it? Don't know, but maybe we should put this up as a poll. 2000, specifically April 2001 Matt Hardy. 2023 Matt Hardy, possibly not.
I wanted to ask, by the way, because did we ever get a three-way between Rhino, Lita, and Spike? Because that's the sort of thing they would have booked back then.
I don't know. That's a very good question. I mean,
it doesn't ring a bell.
I probably did it in the WrestleMania 2000 video game.
Because years later, there was a three-way feud where their second had a match together, which is one of the most hilarious concoctions that people have ever seen them do. It was when Alberto Del Rio, Dolph Ziggler, and Jack Swagger were all feuding, and then there was ended up being a three-way match, which was basically all their lackeys together. So it was Big E Langston, Ricardo Rodriguez, and Zeb Coulter.
The only time I can find that Lita and Rhino were even in the same match as a Raw house show in 2004, where they teamed up to beat Trish Stratus and Tyson Tomko.
And Lita wrestled Spike Dudley. Just Spike, on the 3rd of April, Sunday Night Heat, the same year. So
A
couple of days later.
How does that work out? How is Sunday Night Heat airing on a Tuesday?
I have no clue. I'm not going to... Oh, it aired the following Sunday. It was taped on the...
Right, fine. There we go. Have to remember, not all television is life.
Yeah.
So, Edge and Christian use chairs to get rid of the Dudleys. Outside, Jeff puts Spike and Rhino on a pair of tables as Edge tells Christian to go get the big one. Jeff sloppily cuts him off without enough arms to support and direct a giant folded ladder and Christian, and just about saves it from wiping out the front two rows on the hard cam side. As Paul Heyman astutely points out on commentary, it is so tall that from the hard cam shot on the outside of the ring, it is still the same height as the ones that are set up inside the ring. In the ring, Matt knocks down Edge and goes down with him. So the only thing there is for people to watch is Jeff, who climbs to the very top of that ladder and comes off with a swanton, making him 2 for 3 for that move. Spike's table breaks, Rhino's doesn't. Spike is very obviously making sure all his teeth are still where they should be, because that poor bastard takes almost all of the swanton, and then Rhino slides off his table onto him. And if you notice, immediately after and during the replays, you can hear a very muffled, "I'm okay," come from the bottom of the pile. While all this and the replays are going on, the big ladder has ended up in the ring. Christian and Devon are climbing, and Edge has left a trail of ladders leading from one corner to the big one that's in the center.
Yeah.
With a hearty, here we go, Matt removes Ladder Grande, leaving Devon and Christian hanging from the loops, and Christian starts kicking away, which apparently freaked Devon out because he doesn't like heights at the best of times. And this is the second time he's had to do this spot. He takes a slightly less spine-jarring bump than last time. Mm. And Christian, I thought, put on a good show of hanging with one arm before dropping himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't take it safely either. Like, you can see one of his thighs just sort of, like, compresses into jelly when he hits the mat. It's all gross. The time from Jeff Hardy hitting Spike with the Swanton to him appearing on camera on his feet again was a whopping 62 seconds. Yeah. After that, while all of this was going on, he has climbed the turnbuckles and is trying to do the spot they called in practice the Frogger, walking across the tops of the three ladders to take a dive at the belts. Unfortunately, he loses his balance on the second one, almost making it to the third before they tip over. And the story goes he was adamant that he could make this work, but no matter how many times they rehearsed it during the day, he couldn't do it. And he was apparently furious that this didn't work. It's essentially the first thing that goes wrong the whole match. And think of the level of difficulty of stuff they've been doing so far.
Yeah.
He climbs up anyway, and also ends up hanging from the loops. He grabs a ladder with his feet as he swings and tries to maneuver it into position underneath him. Bubba gets hold of it and pulls him to one corner, still hanging from the loops, while Edge climbs the giant ladder that's now ended up in the opposite corner. And then, in one of my all-time favorite crazy spots, Jeff's feet unhook from the ladder. He swings back across the ring, and Edge comes off his ladder and meets him in the middle with a spear. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I counted. Including the top platform, that giant ladder is 12 steps, and Edge came off number 8. He tries to protect Jeff as much as he can and takes a lot of it on his knees, but both of them just smash into that mat.
I've got to give Edge fair play for doing everything he can to keep Jeff steady as he's coming down.
And one final thing on this spot quickly. From Jeff hopping the ladder around to a good 5 seconds after they hit the mat, there are no cuts. The whole thing plays out in a single wide shot. This is how wrestling used to be directed.
There's an interview with Edge where he talks about this spot, and he says that people often ask him, oh, how many times did you practice that? And he replied, are you fucking crazy? Do you think I did that more than once?
They did do it more than once, because they did it in the September 2000 ladder match.
Oh,
see, but I asked, this is how I ended up, Matty and GTR ended up finding this thing. I have always had a memory of seeing it done twice, like, because they were wearing different gear. I thought Edge was in green tights when he did the other one. It's not what I am conflating is that and him doing jumping off the turnbuckles to spear Jeff off the ladder at WrestleMania, I think. No, Jeff is in a bright red shirt in the Raw match. I'm sure I had seen both versions go into video packages. This is the big one, though. This feels so much bigger than the one on Raw.
Oh, yeah. And they do something similar in the Triangle Ladder match at WrestleMania 2000 as well. But again, it's from a much lesser height. Because there's a split second after Edge does it, because the camera's on his face. And it's akin to, I don't know if you've ever seen Nirvana's MTV Unplugged, very famous one.
Yes.
And the last song they do is Where'd You Sleep Last Night by Leadbelly. And there's a bit after he screams out this last night note where Kurt Cobain's eyes just widen. And he looks like something's left his body for the last time. And that's how Edge looks just after hitting the deck.
Yes.
The one production thing that I really want to say is, having a match like this where a lot of it is big moments are being set up and letting them settle, having the ability to do lots of replays from multiple angles is really, you know, is really good. And actually, I thought that the excess replays did a really good job of keeping you in it and the flow, because otherwise that's just downtime.
On a slightly more technical level, as this is a match that is mostly a series of crazy spots, one after another, that require a lot of setup. I bet they did a full tech run. So every camera op knew where they had to be and when they had to be there. And they had essentially pre-directed it during rehearsals and then just went live. Because today there would be two cuts in that spear off the ladder. There is a clip on Twitter of is it Karrion Kross's new finisher, which is some stupid pump hand left five thing?
Yeah.
I watched that. There's eight cuts in it from the moment he picks the guy up to the moment he hits the mat.
And they could have made it look good. Well, actually, they couldn't, because it is just pure grade shite all the way down.
And it's Karrion Kross doing it.
Yeah.
The most good on paper, but not in actuality, wrestler of all time.
Much like the guy who keeps hiring him back. Matt and Bubba climb the big one. Rhino reappears and tips it over, sending them both over the top through the 2x2 stack. All four tables explode. Mm. The first replay looks like the classic shot from Independence Day where the aliens blow up the White House and all the debris comes into the camera.
It is a fantastic bump, and they do
they
do a great job of diving for their lives, probably because they are diving for their lives.
Oh, yeah, you can very much see Bubba push off his rung on the ladder.
Yeah.
Matt has smacked his head again and is bleeding all over half a table on the outside. And then comes the mildly anticlimactic finish after like three all-timer spots back to back. Devon climbs one side of the ladder. Edge has crawled up and is hanging onto his trousers to stop him climbing. And on the other side, Rhino gets his shoulders under Christian and practically runs up the ladder, allowing Christian to grab the belts. And your new WWF Tag Team Champions for the seventh time are Edge and Christian.
Because they won all these matches, didn't they? The big three, WrestleMania and SummerSlam.
Yes.
Like, Edge and Christian won the lot.
Yeah, I think you're right. They did. I found a quote from an interview that Edge gave quite recently, I think. Edge? He doesn't exist. Adam Copeland gave an interview recently, and he said, I'm going to read this quote. It was that second TLC in Houston where I had the realization, we can't continue to try and top this. A, they're going to get desensitized, they being the audience, and it won't feel as special anymore. And in trying to top it, one of us is going to get really, really injured, and we're going to keep trying. I will say this probably should have been the end of these matches. Unfortunately, they would do another one this year with a pair of Canadians called Chris for free on SmackDown. It's kind of the forgotten TLC because of who's in it and because it wasn't on pay-per-view. To me, this is the peak of wrestlers as action figures stunt show matches. They take big risks, but they're doing it on a huge stage, and all but one of these complicated spots comes off pretty much perfectly.
Yep.
Honestly, the ladder getting away from Jeff as he tries to walk across the top of them and it getting a little bit messy kind of makes it a bit more endearing. Like, he was trying so hard but couldn't quite make it. Everybody is on point, including all the interfering associates, who all add an extra element not seen in the previous matches. And I know I shouldn't love this, but I really do.
Yeah, like, so I've got a work colleague who, she likes wrestling. Right. Now, she doesn't watch WWE or AEW or New Japan, sensible woman, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. All she goes to see are indie wrestling shows in Leeds that she goes to with her mates, right? And 2 months ago, she came into my office and said, oh, you're going to the wrestling this weekend? And I said, no, I'm not on double booked, but it looks a good card. There's a ladder match on the show. And she said in response, what's a ladder match? And I just remember thinking, God, imagine getting to see a ladder match for the first time, because I alluded to it earlier. The first wrestling show I ever saw was Royal Rumble 2001. That had a ladder match on it, Benoit versus Jericho for the IC title. So the ladder match has never been something crazy and novel to me, because from the very time I started watching wrestling, the ladder match has been there. This match, more than anything else, makes me feel like I'm watching a ladder match for the first time, and there could be no higher compliment than that.
Yeah. I think it escalates really well within itself. And as we've kind of spoken about when we were discussing the milestones, it escalates really well within the full canon of this feud. All nine people get over and come out of it, perhaps not feeling better, but sort of like more elevated than when they went in. even if it's just in the sense of you have to respect them for surviving this crazy shit, it's really inventive. And they kind of saved, I think they thought this would be the last one, and I think they kind of saved the best for last with that thought in their minds going in. Yeah, Mark, what else you got?
The big spots are the big spots for the reason. I wrote in my notes on the three big ones, the first of the one that everyone remembers, the second. What have
I'm sorry.
Said?
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because I want to throw this in quickly. I've still got Lita and Rhino versus Trish Stratus and Tyson Tomko at a Raw house show in 2004 on my screen. It happened at the NEC in Birmingham.
Oh, yes.
Anyhow, I'm very sorry, Mark. Please, please carry on.
So, yeah, this is the one with the three big spots everyone remembers.
Yes.
And as I alluded to, in many ways, it is one of those matches where they're building up to the big spots, but there's two things that really help this. The first one I've already mentioned, it's having those big replays, and it's kind of why, I would argue it's one of the reasons why these big spot-based ladder matches don't work outside of big budget TV, because there's nothing to hide the dead air.
Yes.
It's also why I think that ladder matches and TLC matches and that kind of match, if they're going for a spectacle, they have to be tag matches, because you can't make it work as a singles match.
Yes, more bodies definitely helps. And I actually, before we started recording, I watched this again. Mm. And I did it as what I called a background watch. I wasn't watching what was going on in front of me, in front of the camera. Mm. I was watching everybody else in the background.
Yeah.
To make sure they weren't, like, obviously helping, like for example, Matt and Devon weren't helping each other set something up or that kind of thing. And it, there is one moment where you can see that Matt and Bubba are sort of cooperatively moving the biggest ladder around. Mm. But apart from that, like, it all works logically within kayfabe. Yeah.
The one singles match that I definitely think worked, and this is going to sound weird, is that Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa match. And the reason that worked is because the seconds were doing the job of getting the stuff ready for their respective champions.
Yes.
So you had the seconds moving the tables, the seconds getting things set up. And I love that. But aside from that, if you're going stunt match and you're setting things up, it has to be a tag for me or a multi-man, because otherwise there's too much dead air.
Yeah. I think the only match for my money that actually pulled this kind of thing off, which was a singles, is the notorious Crazy Crusher versus Hellstorm match from the Canadian Indies in 2004. And the thing is, this follows on from what Edge was saying about, we stopped doing this because it was new, we knew it would escalate too much. Crazy Crusher versus Hellstorm is why they didn't do that.
Yeah. I mean, that got nominated. I think Eamon nominated that.
Good man.
I had to make sure it existed, and I saw some of it. Yeah.
It's amazing. There's like 15 spots that no sane human being should ever attempt.
Yeah.
The other thing that I alluded to that really helps this match for me is Lita and Spike and Rhino, because they do a fantastic job of adding energy and momentum and something extra to get your attention of at the exact right moment. And this match would not be as good as it is if those three hadn't got involved. All of them deserve credit for what they did in that.
I cannot help but think that somebody at some point pitched the idea of doing this again, but as trios.
I legit thought that there was an actual match where they were involved as trios, and I think that was my sin. That was my Sinbad movie moment. That was my Mandela effect. In terms of the... what other matches would you have in this spot? Because this is the only multi-man spot fest match that I think we've had in the 104. I don't think we've had anything.
You could make a case for the Toriumon match.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I mean, I can get that, but that's more of a kind. That's a match. This is more what
which would have been an absolute fucking mess with ladders and tables involved.
Yeah, because bear in mind, this is a match, the only real moves were a neckbreaker drop, a what's up headbutt, a 3D, a poetry in motion, a double flatback, a gore, Leeds diving hurricane. That's it for moves. Everything pretty else much. Is tables yeah. or weapon spots.
Yeah.
I was having a look. What was the next highest tag team ladder match that got nominated? And it was the infamous Freemendous Free PWG match, which was Super Smash Brothers versus Young Bucks versus Cole and O'Reilly.
Great match.
And I think that was maybe one or two nominations short of making it on the list. But it would be really interesting to compare that match to this, because if from what I remember, that was more of a match, but also with ladders. Whereas this, if you took the ladders and the weapons out and just did the moves that were in this match, it does not hang together at all.
You're done in 4 minutes and everybody can go back to locker room early. You can compare those two matches after all the homework I did for this. I don't ever need to see a tag team ladder or table match ever again.
Yeah, I'll give you that. So in summary, it's like, yeah, this lived up to what I remember. Now, it on my first watch, I was thinking, yeah, does it hold up as much, or how much of it was the novelty value? But yeah, no, it kind of does hold up, because you don't need it to be more than this. It's just a great example of how to hide the nuts and bolts and just have the bits that you remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I went in when I was watching this, not nitpicking, but trying to see the joins, you know, yeah. you know what I mean? And the one thing I was really watching out for was, why are you doing this when you could be trying to win the match? And honestly, as the match progressed, I got more and more like I didn't really care about that, because you do need to incapacitate your opponent before climbing the ladder. I mean, if you ever played a ladder match on the WWE video games, you will know it's a horrible, tedious chore, because you do need to essentially lay your opponent out so that they will never move again before you can actually win the match. And secondly, on that point, if literally all that the wrestlers were doing was trying to set ladders up and climb the ladder, you would get something akin to the Bret versus Owen cage match from SummerSlam, where they're literally just trying to escape the cage. And I ask you, do you want that? I think not.
That looks like two adults trying to play in a child's playground. There is so much climbing in that match. You're right. I kind of watched all of these matches in the sense of kind of looking for those joins as well, like making sure what they were doing was making sense. You know, were they trying to win the match? What should those characters be doing at that moment? You know, should the Hardys be trying to wipe out the Dudleys before noticing that Edge is climbing behind them or whatever? You know, should Edge and Christian be sneaky and trying to get chairs into the ring and that kind of thing? And it does, you're right, it does largely hold up. Do we think it's must-see?
Without a shadow of a doubt, of course it is. This is the best match of this type.
I think if you're doing something where there's a project and you're getting lots of different must-sees together, you need... yes, I know that's what I essentially did.
Yes.
I think you need examples of all of what wrestling can be.
Yes.
And this is, if you need an example of a wrestling stunt show match, this is the one you pick.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I think you're both right. I don't really know how to word this, but I'm going to try. I think Edge was right that they should have stopped here.
Yep.
And this style of match kind of should have stopped here. But wrestlers are always going to be wrestlers. Wrestling promoters are always going to be wrestling promoters. Yeah. And if you're going to have one, it should be this one.
Yeah. And also, when you think about it, I mean, yes, the WWE mostly stopped doing regular TLCs, except when they had the TLC pay-per-view.
Yeah, when they turned it into a pay-per-view, and then they started doing Money in the Bank at
every
WrestleMania,
year.
And then they turned Money in the Bank into a pay-per-view.
Yeah, so WWE have just been flogging a dead horse with a ladder for 20-odd years. but yeah, people don't remember those. They remember this.
Yeah, and might I say, with regards to the modern Money in the Bank matches, people often make the argument, oh, they've got to be 25, 30 minutes long because they've got six, seven, eight people to, you know, get over. Like, this match had nine people in it.
Yeah.
And it went 15 minutes, and every single person in this match has something cool and memorable to do. It is the wrestling equivalent of that Simpsons episode with all the baseball players.
And none of these ladders had sawdust coming out of them.
That is true. This match was 4¾ stars in the Observer. It currently sits at 9.59 on Cage Match, which makes it match of the night for WrestleMania 17, according to both publications. Uncommonly for this show, this only featured in honourable mentions in Match of the Year voting in the Wrestling Observer. Normally, the matches we talk about are top 10, top 5, usually match of the year. This didn't even crack the top 10. And none of these teams made the top three in the voting for Tag Team of the Year. Because
what?
Tenkoji, Los GDI, and Gedo and Jado were the top three.
Come off it.
I'm slightly stunned on that. It's like, really, Tenkoji?
They were big in 2001.
I guess the argument is probably that towards the back end of the year, I mean, certainly Edge and Christian were feuding for it, and the Hardys and the Dudleys really didn't have a lot of memorable moments as teams during the invasion. But I think this match alone should ensure them have a spot on that ranking.
Yeah, yeah. I was shocked that this didn't feature in the top 10 of Match of the Year. If we have nothing more to add about TLC 2, I would like to thank George very much for joining us today. It's been great fun to talk through this match with you. The floor is yours to plug all the things you need to plug, tell people where you can be found on the internet if you want to be found, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, so you can follow, I don't have a personal Twitter account, but I use my podcast Twitter account basically as my personal one. You can follow it at Puro Podcast. I have no idea how we got that name, but I'm never leaving X, formerly known as Twitter, just in case some other bastard goes and gets it. We are mostly a historical professional wrestling podcast. We don't do a huge amount of current stuff. There's a running joke where we know absolutely nothing about current New Japan. One year, we did a Christmas quiz, which was literally just, who are the current title holders in New Japan? I got 3 out of 10 and I won. we do things like, we're currently in the midst of a series, which I will definitely get finished at some point, about all the Soviet shooters in New Japan, you know, your Hashimikovs and your Zangievs, and we're going on to talk about wrestlers from the former Soviet Union in the 21st century, Masha Slamovich, Alex Kozlov, people like that. So if you want to listen to our episodes, we are on SoundCloud and we're on iTunes. You can read my writing at imaintainthedoublefootstompissilly.com or marshmallowbomb.substack.com more in recent months and years. I write articles such as the aforementioned Tokyo Joshi is King's Road. I've written the first and almost certainly only comprehensive analysis of the wrestling illusions in the fiction of Salman Rushdie, and much more besides. You can also follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/LordTenpai. I have not been twitching, is that a word, very much in recent months, but when I am twitching, I mostly play Mahjong. I've represented Great Britain at Mahjong in the past, and sometimes I do mostly deck builders and roguelike stuff like Slay the Spire, Inscription, so video games as well as Mahjong. And
big fan of Slay the Spire. I'm rubbish at it, but it's really good.
I know, I'm absolutely crap. I've played it for 150 hours and so no signs of stopping. It's a very difficult game.
It is.
But very, very rich and rewarding.
Yes.
And finally, you can buy my novel, which we mentioned earlier. It is called The Rise and Fall of Ricky Dozan. You can get that for your Kindle for the low, low price of £2.49, or you can get a very nice print-on-demand paperback for significantly more money as well. It is a novel which is set in post-war Japan, looking at the birth of professional wrestling in the country. And it's about wrestling, but it's not about wrestling. It is about war and peace, not the concept, not the novel. It's not quite that long, although it does get close. And it's also about race, belonging, identity, growing up, the function of sport in nation building, and lots of other weighty and complex themes. If you don't know anything about wrestling in 1950s Japan, or indeed about professional wrestling in general, don't worry, all the main terms are explained, so you have no cause to worry. It's got nothing but 5-star reviews on Amazon, so do go and check it out. And I think that's me.
Outstanding. As for us, you can go to linktr.ee/mustymatches for all the ways to subscribe, links to the full list of nominations and much more. I know I said nominations, but I'm going to carry on. We are at Musty Matches on Twitter, Instagram, Threads and Blue Sky. We have a Discord, bit.ly/mustymatchesdiscord. On Twitter, I am at Kieran Edits and Mark is...
at Monkey_Buckles, and I am doing my best not to flub this before the podcast ends. I've flubbed it twice. It's not going to be three times.
If you haven't had enough of my voice, you can listen to Nothing and Like It, which chronicles the UK's Frontier Wrestling Alliance's adventures on television. You can find everything to do with that at linktr.ee/fwapod. Episode 3 is out now. Next week, it's just the two of us and a big 69. All 69 minutes of Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada from Dominion 2018. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.